Good morning. Thank you, Brandon, for those leading us in those songs. I'd like to welcome our visitors that we have with us. We're glad that you came to worship with us and would like to invite you back whenever you get a chance. Have a prayer request from Armita and Frank. They ask prayers for their sister-in-law, Holly Bruno. It says doctors have found cancer in her lymph glands, and she'll be starting chemotherapy. So we need to remember her, and also remember Daryl's mom, Letta. She had to go to the emergency room yesterday, and hopefully everything's getting taken care of with that.
The right tires will show you that the experiences you make are the ones you take with you.
Okay. Sort of AFib, and
not to throw shade on other holidays.
Medication can get that taken care of. We also need to remember Kurt Jensen. He is not here today. He wasn't feeling good. So we will remember these as we go to God in prayer. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you so much for the blessings that you give us. We come to you right now on behalf of a few
gift cards,
people that are
really. First, that, you can't pour, sip, and share them. And second, they're so small that you can easily forget about them.
Not feeling well today, we ask that you be with.
Do people say that about
Letta?
Me?
We hope that the doctors are able to figure out the right medication for her, and she will be comforted and be able to get out of the hospital soon. Dear God, we ask that you be with Holly Bruno. It's very scary to find out that you've got cancer. We ask that you be with her family, be with the doctors as they treat her. And our prayer and hope is that the chemotherapy will be successful and will take care of the cancer in her lymph glands. Dear God, we ask that you be with us the rest of the service. We hope that everything that has been done and will be done is pleasing and acceptable to you, and that everything we do is done in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful for the visitors that come our way. We hope that we can be an encouragement to them. They are definitely an encouragement to us. Mm-hmm. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have a new brother in Christ, June, who's sitting back there. June put his Lord on in baptism last Wednesday. He's been worshiping with us for quite a while, and Carolyn gave him some correspondence courses that he's been working on. Of course, he's been coming to class and worship and hearing the truth and during a study last Wednesday, he, kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch, realized, I need to be baptized.
Amen.
And so we have a new brother in Christ. We welcome him and hope that he will continue to grow and be able to eventually teach others. Today we're going to, let's go ahead and get into our lesson about the prodigal son. Dick read a fairly lengthy passage. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. We are going to be looking at the individual scriptures. But this is a passage in the Bible that we've heard many times. I guarantee five different preachers could cover this and look at it from different angles. There's a lot of really good messages that would be beneficial for us to either learn today or to rehear and hear it again, maybe with fresh ears. It starts out with kind of the setting. And it says in verses 11 and 12, then he said a certain, talking about Jesus is telling about this prodigal or this parable to his disciples. He says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And we see this setting that the father divided the portion that were going to go to the sons, and this younger son got what was coming to him. And we see what the son does with it. And in the end, him getting his inheritance is not the wrong, is not the sin, is not the, you know, he didn't do anything wrong by getting what was going to be coming to him. But we see in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. There's the sin. One, we see the son leaving his home, leaving where he was raised, where he knew he was accepted, and then went to another country far off. Something he was not used to. Something that he was not familiar with. And then, while he was there, wasted that hard-earned inheritance that he had got that was his, and wasted it with this living. It's very hard for me to read this and not only think of it in a family setting, son, father, a family, but also when people leave the church. Mm-hmm. They're in their home. They have the blessings, all the trappings that come to being that family member. And they go to a far off country, one that is not theirs, one that's not for them. There's nothing wrong with children growing up and moving out of the house. But going to a far off foreign country and then wasting and living in ways that you were not raised as. That's what we see going on here. Not only did he waste his possessions, but he cast a negative light on that family name. He wasn't raised like that. When he was at home, his father wouldn't have agreed to that. It wasn't what they were about. But he leaves what he was raised in and then wastes his possessions and casts a negative light on the family. In Matthew 25, Jesus taught another parable about the parable of the talents. And in verse 30, there was three people in this. Two of the people used their talents to make more. But one didn't do anything with those talents. Not doing something is negative. Might as well have not had them. And we see in verse 30, it ends up, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what the prodigal son had done. He wasted, and you waste your talents, whether you just throw them to the four winds or just don't use them. There's no difference. In Proverbs 19:13, It says a foolish son, and I would include or daughter, is the ruin of his father. Those of us that are parents, it breaks our heart when we see some of the decisions that our children make. You can't just physically hog tie them and duct tape them and not let them do those things. Part of them growing up is the free will to make the decisions. Don't you know what God thinks sometimes? I got to give them the free will. I can't duct tape them to, you know, I can't just grab them and put them and send them to go to church, make them robots to worship me and be obedient. What good would it have been if the father said, no, son, you've got to stay here. You've got to let the kids grow up. But in doing so, a foolish son was the ruin of his father. That father worried about him, worried about what he's going to be doing, went to a far-off land. Who knows how long he was gone? You know the father worried. Just like we worry when members go out the doors and are gone for long periods of time. What are they doing? They know where they belong, or maybe they don't. We know where they belong. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The prodigal son wasted both of them. He wasted his possessions and threw away his name at the same time. A name that the father had worked his whole life to build. He threw both the possessions and the reputation to the four winds. We see the results of what the son had done. It says, starting in verse 14 through 17, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, when the light bulb went off, when he figured it out, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I've made the decision to go do this. I acted foolishly, and he's thinking back. I've got all the blessings and the trappings of home, of where I should be. Didn't work out the way I'd thought. What's that? That saying Dr. Phil says a lot. How's that working for you? You know, you wanted to do that. And he asked, how's that working for you, Mr. Prodigal Son? You thought you were going to get everything you had, and you go and do this. Galatians 6:7, we see what that was. Paul said, do not be deceived. Whenever Paul uses that terminology a few times in his writings. He wants to drive the point home. Don't be deceived, because a lot of people are. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. What did you reasonably think was going to happen by the way you were living your life. And all of a sudden, it says, and he came to himself. When he finally started thinking clear, he's looking at the food that he's feeding the pigs. That's looking pretty good these days. That things must have been pretty bad. So he's looking at, those pigs are eating better than I am. Side story. I'll talk fast. I know we're about running out of time. A friend of mine growing up, when we got old enough to start going to each other's houses to eat and spend the night and stuff like that, they were from up Minnesota area. And he calls his mom, can I eat at Bruce's house? Sure, well, what are you guys having? We were having chicken fried steak, black-eyed peas. But told him, don't eat the black-eyed peas. Okay, why? Because where they were from, that's what they fed the cows, was black-eyed peas. They were pretty good to me. But anyway, the prodigal son's looking at those things that they're feeding the pigs, and they were looking good to him. But it's not turning out the way he hoped, but what else could it have done? You're going to reap what you sow. Oh, it's going to be different with me. I'm going to leave. I won't fall away. I won't fall away from the church, even though I go to a far land with nothing that I'm used to, nothing of the customs I'm familiar with. I'm going to start living differently. What else do you expect is going to happen? Then you have the repentance. The son repents. And this, to me, this is one of, at this point in my life, this is a big factor. There was 5 years ago, different verses of this passage might have been more important. This is the part that's really having an impact on me now, verses 18 through 21. I will arise, after it says he came to himself, I will arise and go to my father. And say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you.
Amen.
He acknowledges what he had done wrong. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Punish me. I have fallen from grace. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. We see the son, a good example of repentance. He just doesn't come to himself and out of hunger decides to go back home. He acknowledges what he had done. He just doesn't waltz back into the house, hey guys, I'm back, and pick up right where he had left off. Do you see any parallels with that in the church? People leave. They go to that foreign country, the world, then they come to themselves, and then sometimes just expect to walk right back in. I'm back. No repentance, no realization of what I've done. This son was heartbroken. Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. Just make me like one of the servants. Acts 17:30, truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked. And I tell you, those times of our lives when we do act like that, it is ignorant living. It's ignorant. That's a strong word. That's strong language. Times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Then you've got the outcome. When a prodigal returns. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What a great end of the story. But it's not the end. This is a great end to the story. James 5:20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's our whole point, is to hopefully save sinners from death, including ourselves. You've got the brother's reaction. This is good for us. This is good for us, those that weren't acting foolish and leaving to another country and wasting ourselves. Now, his older son was in the field doing what he should have been doing. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. This son was mad because he had been faithful and loyal. What misplaced anger? He is mad because he has done what he should have. And now the son that acted foolishly comes back. He had been in the field. He didn't see the son repent. He didn't know that his brother had repented. He just knows that everybody's, don't we do that sometimes? Somebody returns, they repent from acting foolishly, and we're mad at them. Oh, everybody's hugging them. Everybody's hugging their neck and patting them on the back. We're so glad you're back. What about me? I've not missed. I've kept doing the work that I should be doing. And now you're giving them so much. What about us working stiffs that just keep grinding it out week after week after week? And you're giving this person that acted the fool so much praise and credit. Jesus said in Luke 10, so likewise, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. We that hang in there all the time, that's our duty. we're going to get our reward. But on the other hand, the son that left and returned, he did repent. The father's lesson. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. You've always got these blessings. And all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. The father never condoned what the son did was wrong. He never condoned it. He's glad that he came to his senses.
Tigers are going all the way, and you know it. Alexa, turn the lights to orange. Okay.
Go Tigers!
Alexa, turn the lights blue.
Ways, and then want to waltz back in like nothing's ever happened. We have to accept their repentance if they repent. Now, I'm not saying we have to tell them, you know, you got to do the perp walk right up front. But you know what? We should demand repentance. They've sinned against heaven and God. And put a slap on the family name of the church. But if they repent, accept their repentance. And he reassured the older son. He reassured that what you've been doing this whole time, that's good. You should be doing that. I acknowledge what you've done. Matthew 18, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to
Alexa.
Seven times?
Compromiso.
Okay.
Peter's kind of going on a stretch. Not just once, but should I forgive him seven times?
Jungle calling. Does your dog have energy to burn? Jungle calling treats are designed to suit.
You've got a lot more than just that. But forgive him when he repents. The parable of the prodigal son. You have three different people, three different lessons. How often are we the prodigal son? Or are we sometimes the prodigal son? Sometimes are we the older brother? Are we the father? Some good lessons for us to take. Forgiveness, repentance. Keeping on, keeping on. Some good lessons there. We never like to end a worship without offering an invitation. If there is sin in your life, if you acted foolish, we'd like to offer you the opportunity to repent if it was a public sin. If it's a private sin, repent to God. Change. Right now. But if it's public, repent publicly. If you need prayers of this congregation, we'd be glad to pray with and for you. If you've been studying and like June decided to put your Lord on in baptism, if you realize this is the time I need to be baptized, now's a perfect time.